Hello, and welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This week in worship, Reverend Tricia G. Lytle tells us about James's royal rule of love and how we can practice that in a welcoming, loving way to everyone we meet. Let's listen.
So there was, a small rural church that had their homecoming Sunday. And they had big signs outside the church that said, "Welcome, everybody come." So it was a small church, so the pews all filled up. And as church started, somebody came in the back door. I know some of y'all can't see me, but I got to do this so I can do my little example. Hey, Leela. And this guy started to walk down the aisle, and he had spiky purple hair, big old earrings, black leather pants, and he had those chains wrapped all around his waist and big old boots. So as he started to walk down the aisle, you could hear like chang, 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 you know. And I said to the teenagers at 9:30, "Lydia, nobody had purple or pink hair." I was like, "Why couldn't somebody have some purple or pink hair this morning?" But you could see him and you could hear him walking down the aisle. And as he's walking down the aisle, he's looking for a seat. And everybody's looking at him just like you're looking at me. And you could feel the tension in the room because this person wasn't a member of the church. He was visiting, and obviously he looked really different, right? Spiky hair, leather pants, chains, earrings. He stood out like a sore thumb. So he's walking down the aisle. He keeps looking for a seat. Can't find a seat anywhere. He's making all this loud noise because of all this chains on him. What do you think he did, Bill? He kept going. He turns around, he gets to the very front. And meanwhile, like, church is going on, okay? Somebody's doing the call to worship or something. And he keeps looking, so he turns and he walks across the whole front pew, walks across over to the front, and then he decides, "Well, I'm just going to plop down here Indian style and just sit on the floor." And he starts watching church. So then, like the elder that everybody knows that's been there for a million years, like the 79-year-old elder, he gets up from the back, and he does the same thing. He follows the same exact path, and he starts walking down the center of the aisle. Now, what do you think everybody's thinking? Everybody's watching this whole thing. Do you think anybody's listening to the preacher? I'm glad I wasn't preaching. That's all I got to say, because nobody would be listening to my sermon. He starts walking down the center aisle. He's following the same exact path this guy did. He starts crossing over the front. He goes going to where he is. What do you think he's going to do? Okay, and what do you think he's going to do when he sits down next to him? What do you think, Judy? Well, you can't answer. Rita, you were here at 9:30. You can't answer. You're disqualified from the game, Rita. Who else wants to answer other than Rita? She was here at 9:30. Oh, Judy, you're right. Yes, and he's 79 years old, so I give him more credit for, he actually got down on the floor. And he sat down Indian style next to him. He sat down on the floor and reached out his hand and said, "Welcome to our church." Now, see, you all say that because that's what you all would do. I believe that with all of my heart. You all would get up. Somebody would. And somebody would get down on the floor and sit next to him. And then he stayed there the whole entire time. I hope somebody helped him up when church was over. And sat down next to him, and he said, "Welcome to our church." That is what James is talking about. Now, by the way, I should have said this at 9:30, but that's the whole book of chapter 2 that Anne read. That's it. It's a short chapter. That's what he's saying today in the royal rule of love. It's apparent from this reading today that the question is not, what do I get out of church? Which unfortunately sometimes is the question people ask when they're looking for a church. What do I get out of it? And instead, James is saying, the question is, who do I welcome to it? And his answer is that we welcome the marginalized, the outcast, the people on the edges, the poor, those who suffer. We welcome anyone. We welcome everyone. And what motivates this? Is the audacious, amazing, radical, agape, wonderful, soulful, inclusive, amazing love of God. That love of God that scooped us up and pulled us in. and loved us when we needed it the most. That's the same love that we give to other people. And whatever forms of poverty and suffering, James says, that people take, these are the forms that people take that actually bless us back the most. Because we need them as much as we think they need us. Mother Teresa knew this, and she spent a lifetime in the Calcutta slums. That's why she knew it. Francis Assisi knew this, and so he went and kissed a leper. And Henry Nouwen knew this, and he left the comfort of the academic world to go work with adults who were mentally handicapped. This is the secret of saints, and it is written all over the pages of our gospel. We see that God has chosen the lepers and the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the outcast and the uneducated and the forgotten and the people left on the edges to be the leaders and the heirs of the kingdom of God and to show us what it means to lead us through mercy and drench us through grace. These are the people. These are the ones that God chose to lead the way. These are the ones that have the power to bless us. So I ask you all this morning to think for just a moment. Who have you welcomed in your life that has had the power to bless you? And how have they changed your life in ways that you never, ever imagined? I bet you're thinking of somebody right now, either a human or a creature in some way that came into your life and you thought, oh my gosh, I never expected this. I worked at a very small church, a couple of small churches before I came here, and one in particular, my David was here at 9:30, and I was joking because he and I both worked at small churches. Like, we were excited if we had 30 people on Sunday. That was exciting. A whole lot different than Unity. But we're one or more gathered, that's all that matters, right? And at this particular church, I've given her a different name, but her name was Lizzie. And Lizzie came to visit us one Sunday, and I'll be really honest, Lizzie liked to smoke. And I don't think she cracked a window open in her house or her car when she did, and she smoked a lot. So when you sat next to Lizzie in church, you really had to kind of sit with the smell of cigarettes. You know, it was hard for some people, but they wanted to welcome Lizzie in, they wanted to invite her into her church, and Lizzie was different. And Lizzie was addicted to opioid drugs, and she wanted to very much fight that addiction. She wanted the help from the congregation, she wanted to be baptized, she wanted to learn about God. And people in the church would meet after church, and they would meet with me, and they'd say, how can we do this? Can you walk with us, Trisha? Can we walk with God? We want to walk with her. Because we believe she's blessing us. We believe she has the power to bless us. And we want to do this. And for a year they did. She was baptized in the church. She shared her faith story. I think 34 people showed up that Sunday. And she blessed that church more than we ever blessed her. And a couple of weeks before I left, unfortunately, we lost her back to addiction. It doesn't change what happened. It doesn't change the blessings and the transformation. And I continue to pray for Lizzie. I don't know where she is. But it goes back to what James says, that when you invite people in, no matter who and where they are, the blessings that come are immense and powerful. Because God first showed us this and accepted us, we can show up and participate. And what it means to give this blessing to others. Because God's measure is not one of judgment, but one of mercy. So that sounds really good. So what do we do when we're human? I could say, y'all raise your hand if you're human, and everybody would need to raise their hand. Amen? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give two amens for myself on that one. So if we say we're followers of Christ, which is what I like to say, because being a Christian, there's a whole lot of ways to define that. I'm a follower of Christ, and I struggle with that every day. What do I do when that judgment starts to come up? And what do I do when I start to catch myself judging someone? It's already happened this morning. I already caught myself. I've already started praying about it this morning. What do I do when that happens? How do we make space for mercy in that place? So Parker Palmer is an educator, a writer. He's a Quaker. And he has a wonderful phrase that has helped me in this moment when I try to be a follower of Christ. When I start to feel critical or I start to be unkind and I start to judge someone, he invites us to turn to wonder. He says to say to yourself, I wonder what has brought me to this belief or opinion. I wonder why I'm judging this person. I wonder what my reaction to this person really is all about. So, for example, I had a girlfriend who works in the business park actually behind me where I worked at Huntersville, and she was really struggling with this coworker. I mean, they were like Clash of the Titans. It was not good. Didn't like to be in business meetings with her, and I shared with her about this Parker Palmer phrase, turn to wonder, and she rolled her eyes at me over lunch. She's like, now, Tricia, come on. I said, I'm just going to invite you to try this. She's like, uh-huh, invite me. I said, just try it. Nothing else is working, right? So I said, just try this. Next time she's in the room, turn to wonder and see what happens. So she called me a few weeks later and she said, I am so mad at you. Uh-huh. I said, why? And she said, well, I turned to wonder. And she said, you know what happens when you turn to wonder? You have to stop judging them long enough to think about what you're wondering about. I said, mm-hmm. And she said, and when I stopped judging long enough and I started thinking about what I was thinking about, I started thinking, I'm exactly like the person that was getting on my nerves. And we're exactly alike, and we have a whole lot in common. And the very stuff that was getting on my nerves is the very stuff that's inside of me. I said, wow. Now, that might not always be the same situation for the people that frustrate you. But there's something amazing that happens when we turn to wonder. We do have to stop. By naming our judgments, we might slowly make a shift from judgment to wonder and make a little space for mercy, make a little wideness for that in ourselves and others. And can you imagine what might happen in this world right now that is so full of some division and anger and finger-pointing and hurtfulness? Can you imagine what would happen around us if we turned to wonder and made a little room and we paused a little bit and instead of just turning and doing a whole lot of this, if we just stopped for a minute and said, I wonder why I'm feeling this way. I wonder. Who knows? We might continue to be offended. We might continue to be angry. And maybe our offendedness and our angriness is telling us something. Or we might just walk away, washed over and changed by God's mercy, with a new understanding about something else. Even just a little bit might make a change. I believe that James, and of course our whole biblical narrative, wants us to know that the gospel is good news for everybody, not just some somebodies. And in all of our attempts to sit in the judgment seat and try to be God, we get it wrong. And where does that leave us but at the foot of the cross? Jesus is the very person who could stand here and say, you know what? As I say to the teenagers all the time, I'm perfect. I'm all that in a bag of chips. I can judge you. I got it all right. You're wrong. I'm perfect. But instead, what did he do but put on an apron, get on his knees, and take the other end of that apron and wash his disciples' feet? And he said, I will show you what leadership is. Leadership is taking care of each other. Leadership is loving someone and getting on your knees and caring for them. Leadership is servant leadership. It's willing to be last. It's honoring another person, even to the point of being on the cross and saying, I will die for you in the midst of that love and grace and that mercy. So today we come to the communion table, the table of ultimate grace, where there is no doorman saying, you get in and you don't. We come to the table with the one who originally broke bread and invited the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the Pharisees and the lepers, the one who called the outcast to sit and to be with him and to break bread with him. He is the same one who invites us to the holy meal today. Because thanks be to God, what was true then is still true today, that all are welcome to this table because of God's love, not because any one of us made it past any velvet ropes, but because of the royal rule of love. Every one of us can come down the aisle, no matter what we look like and no matter who we are, and we can find a seat at the banquet table of God's love. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.